This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I am John Hansen. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and fairly typical Tuesday, even though it's a weird week. Week 18, as the finale wrapped it up last night, as the Falcons get it done. We'll break that down. We'll take a look at the DNP list, kind of a last chance saloon look at the do not playlist. I believe we had Kyle Pitts actually on the list, and luckily we had the DNP list because we did not go there, and Kyle Pitts comes up microscopically small in week 17, as did other players that we'll get into here at the top of the program. We'll break down your notable O-line, D-line matchups as it relates to the running games. Last week, for example, we did pop out Derrick Henry up against those Green Bay Packers, and oh boy, did that one work out. We'll talk with our guy Stephen O'Rourke, per usual, very early look at some data points for week number 18, and last chance saloon on the waiver wire, final waiver wire report of the year. We got to see it through to the end. Some people are out there still playing fantasy. Obviously, some leagues go 2 weeks. I believe ESPN still does the two-week playoff, I believe. I know they do the two-week playoff, but I think it still goes through the finale. The program, as always, brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash, real cash, very, very quickly. Download Better at better.app now. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit necessary, and also make sure you get your Prop Points podcast where you get you're getting your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. Well, last night, not a great night. Week 17 can go away forever. Sometimes it's just a bad week, and you just got to get out of the damn week. We did win the top prop. I was feeling pretty darn good about Bijan Robinson. That was a numero uno, but it was too good, basically, because the man accounted for 225 yards, ripping off that 93-yarder. Unbelievable player. He's transcendent. He really is. He is a once a every 20 years generational. The actual definition of a generational talent is a dude who comes around every once every 20 years, and that is 100% Bijan Robinson. I always remember asking my guy LaDainian Tomlinson, who I've known for 20 plus years, one of the greatest guys of all time. When Bijan was coming out, there were a lot of LT comps, so I had to run that up the flagpole, and oh yeah, LaDainian was all about it. And he's right there with LT in terms of the talent. He actually, I would never say this to LT, but Bijan is he's probably a little more physically gifted than LaDainian. LaDainian had a lot of things going for him. Unbelievable contact balance, vision, all that lateral agility. Bijan's got it all. He is incredible. And really the litmus test is, can you make an Aikman again last night? It was just nailing it on almost every point. I think Troy Aikman is outstanding, but you know, how many times did Troy Aikman mention making unblocked defenders miss? And that's really the true litmus test and whether or not you're special or not. And Bijan can make a miss in the hole. He could be in a phone booth and make a dude miss. Incredible performance by Bijan Robinson. But again, it took away. Was Drake London a decoy out there? I mean, not good. I mean, Kirk Cousins only throws for $126. So full disclosure, the Rams were 7-point road favorites with the pending MVP dealing back there. But certainly, life happens, and Matt Stafford threw three picks, and Kirk only had to throw it for $126. So we tried to double dip, and that was the first time I think we lost them both, and that is always painful. Not as painful as Kanate Mumfield, and I'm watching the game, and I'm almost like, I think the Falcons are seeing what I'm seeing, because it kind of looked like they were paying him special attention. And I'm not saying they look to take him out or anything, but he certainly was extremely well covered. They tried to get him the ball a couple of times early in the game, but no, Xavier Smith had to get the production that I was envisioning for a Ram wide receiver, not named Puka Nacua, as the tight ends both were very, very much involved yet again. But our guy, Terrence Ferguson, does come through. I wish I picked a touchdown for the Monday night special, but we did not go there. But we get to 22.5, and I did say on yesterday's show that we could get this in one, on one catch, and we did. 27-yarder. Parkinson had a pretty good day, 6'4", 53. You know, Tutu Atwell, it's like, what's up with Tutu Atwell? You look last year, he was a factor with Matt Stafford. I remember one time we played a 2-2 prop, I believe, and Stafford missed him for a short touchdown. But, yeah, Mumfield did get the 5 targets, 2 grabs, and only 10 damn yards. Puka does score, but I did mention how, yeah, I kind of like the secondary Ram wideout. That's why I went with Mumfield and Sons, and Xavier Smith usurped it. But I was a little worried about Puka up against often A.J. Terrell, and they did do a hell of a job against him. But again, you can't really completely shut down Puka Nacua. He's just too good. Also, Aikman making great points about just – you know, a lot of times you have receivers out there and they're good. They can separate, they can run away from guys, but they don't play through contact well and they get beat up on contested catches. Well, Puka Nacua is the literal opposite of that. As Aikman kept bringing up, if the ball's in the air in his direction, it's his. And that's special. That's elite. That's a future Hall of Famer if he can do this for another 7 or 8 years. No question about it. Unbelievable pick by the Rams, a 5th rounder. And I got to give a shout out to our guy, Brent Whitefield, who joins the program every Wednesday. When, you know, people were looking at Puka in the pre-draft process, he wasn't considered like this alpha stud dude. And, you know, in terms of the draft process, he was only a 5th round pick, and Brett's comp was no other than Justin Jefferson. So shout out there to Puka Nacua for a great season. It continues, of course. And let's take a look here just for our own, you know, entertainment, I guess. Here is kind of the final look at the DNP list. And let's take a look and see how many of these guys who've been on the list for a while have actually come through. I see one name, Quentin Johnston. He had a big game last week, but he also posted, I believe, a couple of goose eggs since we put him on the list. We got Cooper Kupp here. No offense to Cooper Kupp. I almost played his prop this past week. He had an unbelievable schematic matchup. He did okay. Matthew Golden did a little bit last week. He made a play or two, but certainly that Green Bay Packer receiving core. And Romeo Doubs, of course, almost when we put him on the list, quite frankly, he's starting to get a little hot here, but I believe he also had a couple of dud games as well. Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney. Mooney made a couple of plays last night, 3 for 35. Jonnu Smith, where'd that go? For a month there, looked like he was going to be a factor, and then got to get Darnell Washington on the field. Darnell Washington, I believe, got hurt this past week. DK Metcalf, well, we did play him once. Because it was a standalone game a week or two weeks ago, and we did hit that. But, yeah, we don't mind that. Alvin Kamara has been on the shelf for a while, obviously. Keon Coleman in and out of the lineup. Khalil Shakir, that was hard to put on there. And he's not going off, but he is getting the ball here. DJ Moore, oh, wish I had him on the list last week because in a shootout, he damn near goose egg people. I know that there was a potential touchdown or a big play at the end of the game where he was wide open, but what a disaster. Troy Franklin really hasn't done much, maybe one good game since we put him on the list a couple of weeks ago. All Patriot wide receivers. Jalen Warren, we put on the list. I was going to go against the list, quite frankly, because I did like Jalen Warren last week. That was a little bit of a unique situation. Lamar Jackson, we'll see if he plays in the finale Sunday Night Football for the AFC South. Justin Jefferson did show some signs of life. I might actually play him this week, by the way. I do believe we're going to get J.J. McCarthy back, but don't quote me on that. It's not a done deal, but I think we've seen enough of Max Brosmer. Ken Walker didn't do all that much this past week. Alec Pierce had one good game with Phil Rivers, and I can't even remember what he did. Actually, one bad game, one so-so game, one good game, and one bad game. All the Chiefs players, And I wish I listened to my own advice because I actually played a Marquise Brown prop because it was like 17 yards last week. Did not hit. And all the Raven tight ends were adding this week, FYI. Bucky Irving, we're not playing him this week. Michael Pittman Jr. with the rookie quarterback in. Might have a chance, actually, but he was not clicking there. Riley Leonard was not clicking there with Phil Rivers. Michael Carter, we're done with it. We're done with that Cardinals backfield situation. And oh, we're definitely done with Darren Waller. Some big news here. Stephon Diggs facing, I mean, I can't even say this, strangulation charges. This is sounds serious, not to make light of it whatsoever, but that is a problem. That is Boston 25 News reporting that as it came down the line. Sean McVay stating that the Rams will not rest their starters in week 18. Now, there is a scenario where they won't have anything to gain, so that could still be a little tricky. Maybe it's like a 2-3 quarter situation. As we mentioned, Riley Leonard will start week 18, and NFL Network and all of us are wondering, reporting, speculating that the Eagles could rest some starters in week 18 against the Commanders. I do believe they will. So get ready for a replacement player on the waiver wire. There are a couple of scenarios where the planets have kind of lined up for some low-end players to get a large role on these playoff-bound teams. And there is a guy in the Philly backfield that I'm very, very intrigued by. You could probably figure out who it is, but wait till the end of the program when we pop out the waiver wire and we'll tell you who that is. But on the other side, let's take a look at some O-line, D-line matchups for Week 18 here on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. And here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and when your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get that 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action every day of the year. NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So there's always a lineup to build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to use the promo code VSiN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it's time to prove it. Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. We popped out a new segment a couple of weeks ago when we shut down the trade market for fantasy. It's what we normally do on a Tuesday, a little buy low, sell high. And I think we are. I kind of regret not doing this earlier in the year, quite frankly. It kind of forces me to dive into the O-line, D-line matchups and the running games and how those two things match up in terms of each running game up against the D-line, just to get a jump start on the preparation. But neither here nor there. Let's get into Week 18's top five matchups and bottom five. And this is over at fantasypoints.com, where we're combining a bunch of different data points, but the main two are obviously the adjusted yards before contact. So if you're blocking up a lot and you're up against a team giving up a lot, you're going to come in high on the list and vice versa. Well, let's start here with the number one matchup on the board. That would be the Detroit Lions, who are generating 2.51 adjusted yards before contact up against the Chicago Bears, who have been one of the most giving teams all year in terms of adjusted yards before contact, 2.67, and certainly an interesting game. The Bears technically would only be playing for seeding if Seattle locks up the number one seed. If they don't, if the Niners win, then that is up for grabs for the Bears. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of people who do believe that they would rather get that two seed and play a Green Bay Packer team that's, you know, kind of limping into the playoffs. We also have the Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson narrative here, but we know that the Lions are going to run the ball. So, you know, this will be a game where I would imagine Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm looking at taking overs on Jahmyr Gibbs, because they could also call off the dogs, could the Bears, if the game is decided and their seeding is all pretty much decided in that one there. Number two, it's in Chicago, by the way. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, and that comes in number two. And Derrick Henry, this is his time to shine. You know, I lost a bunch of Henry props in November where, I mean, I kept losing them where it's like everything lined up and we lost it by 3 yards. We lost it by 5 yards. You know, many games where they won, he got 20 carries, they were in control, and he didn't hit the props. So that's a psychological thing, because I should have played it last week. We were talking about it literally 1 week ago in this segment, how it was a great schematic matchup here. But again, psychologically, I'm like, I can't lose another Derrick Henry prop, but I might have to go there in this one, because this is a great matchup as the Ravens are blocking up over 3 yards before contact. And the Steelers probably not going to have TJ Watt again. I think it's probably 95%. They are giving up 2.31 adjusted yards before contact. And yeah, I kind of jokingly wrote last week, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure John Harbaugh is going to, you know, give Derrick Henry more than whatever it was last week, the week before, like 40% of the snaps. And yeah, oh yeah, he did. Third best matchup here, and it's good for Devon Achane to close out the season on a high note. The Miami Dolphins up against the New England Patriots, who have kind of fallen off up against the run. Miami blocking up 2.45 adjusted yards before contact. All of a sudden, Patriots giving up a pretty healthy 2.26. I do see some Jalen Wright. He's popping off some longer runs there, giving him something to think about for next year. I think they could probably go into the season with the three guys they have next year, by the way. I don't think they need to do anything with Achane, Jalen Wright, and Ollie Gordon. That's not bad. Not bad at all. And pretty good matchup here in the finale, week 18. Next up, in the same game that we already outlined, Chicago Bears up against the Lions. The Bears are blocking it up pretty well, 2.49 adjusted yards before contact. Lions giving up 2.34, pretty generous. Now, will the Bears go all in? Who is the third here? Is that still, boy, there was a time where I thought Roschon Johnson was going to be a pretty good option. And yeah, he's like, it's Travis Hunter. I guess Roschon did go on. He didn't get demoted. He's probably on IR, which is like, he's on IR. Nobody knew. Nobody really cared, quite frankly. No offense to Roschon Johnson. Hasn't really done all that much. I thought he was a pretty good backup guy to have around. But Kyle Manunga is outproducing him. He's got a lot more juice. Roschon used to back up Bijan Robinson. Didn't have a lot of mileage off the tires. Rams up against the Cardinals. Shout out to the grinder, Tom Brawley. Looked like he was dead in the water on that, Kyren prop. Corum got hurt, which didn't help, the Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams and Blake Corum are kind of the same guy, quite frankly, which is a little confusing for yours truly. Well, the Rams do get a good matchup here up against the hapless Cardinals, who are giving up 2.25 adjusted yards before contact. Now, let's go to the negative side of things here. Houston Texans up against the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think we can feel warm and fuzzy about Woody Marks. He doesn't really get anything in the passing game, doesn't score, but he does get some volume. This will be another empty calorie game for Woodrow Marks. The Chargers in a little bit of a state of flux here. Are they even going to put their best foot forward with Omer and Hampton? Probably not. I saw some people are looking at Jarrett Patterson. So they're looking at something of an exhibition game here with Justin Herbert not expected to play, and that will be Trey Lance. So I don't know if we'll see much of a Marin Hampton, but I thought Hampton has looked pretty good, by the way. Keep in mind, both starting tackles are out. So he's looking real strong in a good offense for next year. San Fran, big game, obviously. And they'll need Christian McCaffrey, but this is a tough spot. They are only blocking up 1.87 yards before contact adjusted yards. Seattle giving up just 1.65. KC, not that it matters because we're not using anyone in this backfield, but not a good matchup. The Raiders have actually been decent against the run all year long. And speaking of the Raiders, what a disaster last week with Ashton Jeanty. You're like, are they tanking or not? I actually thought that they would try to tank and hand it off a lot. But yeah, maybe they wanted to do that, but the Giants were all over it last week. It was a great matchup. The Giants have been one of the most giving teams in terms of giving up those adjusted yards before contact, but they were in the backfield. It was like I'm watching the game, and it seemed like on every dropback, Geno Smith either fell down, dropping back, got sacked, or threw an interception. It was one of those three. And maybe every once in a while, he threw it. Yeah, he completed a ball to Michael Mayer, who, spoiler alert, on the waiver wire report. But, yeah, not a great spot here. Kansas City playing out the string as well, but I'm not sure we're going to be trusting Mr. Ashton Jeanty after last week's debacle. But we'll see, because the Raiders did win, and they do have the number one pick. So maybe next year we'll get a little Fernando Mendoza in with the number one overall pick. Maybe not a perfect prospect, but certainly good enough for the Raiders. I actually went back and I looked. If they do take Mendoza with the number one pick, it will legitimately be the first time in over 50 years, 50, that the Raiders have had a viable young quarterback. And I'm going back to Kent Stabler. I'm literally going back to Kenny Stabler for that, because I went back and I looked, and they have not had, obviously, our guy Rich Gannon, but he wasn't a young quarterback at the time. He was 35 when he won the MVP. Well, our MVP on Tuesdays is Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. He'll join us on the other side, but first, start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. Get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and much more, including the college football playoffs, NFL playoffs, March Madness, and the Masters. Plus, you'll receive our college football betting playoff guide, complete with expert brackets and more. Start the new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Stephen O'Rourke emerging from the data room to give us some goodness for week 18. Coming up next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. And without any further ado, we go to the Progressive Guest Line. Our guy on a Tuesday afternoon, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at Fantasy Points on the X machine at Call Me Steve-O-7. Happy New Year, Steve. Sorry about your Lions. We were just talking off the air about how it was the most Viking thing of all time to win 14 games in a season but lose the number one seed because you lost to the Lions twice. And then the next year, you only win 8 games and you beat Detroit twice. But how you doing otherwise, sir?
Hey, doing well. It was a good holiday. Excited for the new year. Excited for the playoffs. Honestly, just glad that the Lions' sweat of whether they'll make the playoffs is over, because now I don't have to worry about them.
Yeah. Well, we do have to worry about week 18, and we are still playing. And I know you do have some something on that Lions Bears game, but you know, we start, and I'm sure part of your focus is, you know, motivation and all that. And we certainly want, players to be highly motivated to emerge victorious, like the Carolina Panthers win and they're in. And I don't know what the heck has happened to Tampa's defense, but I do recall a couple of weeks ago, they just let Kyle Pitts just run free and do whatever he wanted. So I think that probably bodes well here. What do you have on Bryce Young this week?
Yeah, I think this is a good week for Bryce Young, coming off of what was a brutal game against a tough defense in Seattle. He now gets the reprieve of playing a Tampa Bay defense that has been kind of hemorrhaging lately. They've been allowing 7.94 yards per attempt since week 11, which is 27th in the NFL. They allow a 67.7% completion percentage, 4.6% completion percentage over expected. And all of this is that they've been struggling to generate pressure. You know, Tampa Bay, they had been known for blitzing a lot, generating a lot of pressure. Since week 11, they've only generated pressure on 36.3% of dropbacks, which is 23rd in the NFL. Bucs also lean a little bit towards single high coverage, running it on 54.3% of dropbacks. And they allow 7.61 yards per attempt in single high coverage. Bryce Young has averaged 7.4 yards per attempt against single high coverage since week 11, which is 19th in the NFL. And he averages 7.07 yards per attempt overall. As well as the Bucs allow 8.48 yards per attempt against play action passes, Bryce Young has completed 77.5% of his passes on play action, is averaging 7.45 yards per attempt since week 11. All of this to say, I think Bryce Young has a good day against a Bucs defense that has struggled to cover guys well. And I think it's a good day for Bryce Young overall.
Do you think, real quick, not to throw you off, but if you're a Panther fan and you're watching the tape, you're looking at the data, is Bryce Young played well enough to still believe in him as, you know, your long-term future in Carolina?
I think so. I mean, everybody's always trying to get after that elite quarterback, but you know, there's only so many guys that you win because of, and I think Bryce Young is a guy that you can win with. Yeah, he has his deficiencies, but right. He's got a good touch on the ball. The receiving core is starting to come together. The offensive line has looked better. And, you know, with that, he has had more time in the pocket to kind of look. I think he's going to continue to develop. And the biggest thing is that I think you're seeing steps forward every year. And each year, it seems like the back half of the year, he starts to kind of figure it out, starts to kind of pick it up. So I think as long as they continue to build out what's around him, I think he can operate a good enough offense that you can win with him.
Huge battle in San Francisco as the Niners are taking on Seattle. Got a lot of ramifications here. NFC West, number one seed. Zach Charbonnet, I looked at all the data last week, and it did seem like they were a little bit more – it was a little bit better of a matchup for those man gap runs. So I did opine that maybe it's a Charbonnet game, but it's always hard to tell. I know this, though. Ken Walker is one of the most annoying players in the league as far as I'm concerned, because he's very talented. But he's kind of a liability, man. I don't know if you want to, like, roll him out all that often because he's out there bouncing every run to the outside. What do you have on Charbonnet?
Yeah, I think I saw someone on Twitter say that Kenneth Walker's never seen a run that he can't bounce outside, and it is so funny watching him play, but because it's such boom or bust, and I feel like everybody I know has Kenneth Walker shares has complained to me about Kenneth Walker at some point. But this week, I think for both Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, it looks like a good matchup, but I just lean Charbonnet just because 49ers are allowing 4.82 yards per carry since week 11, which is 25th in the NFL. They're giving up 2.41 yards before contact per attempt, which is fifth worst in the NFL, and a 55.7% success rate. And they also allow the most missed tackles forced per attempt at 0.23, and they're giving up 5.9 yards per attempt on zone concept runs. Since week 11, Zach Charbonnet is averaging 4.7 yards per carry overall. He has a 57.5% success rate and is averaging 4.64 yards per attempt on zone concept runs. He's had about 46% share of the carries, but I think with his straight downhill running and Seattle's ability to get kind of push on that San Francisco offensive line, I think it kind of favors Charbonnet having a good day and being able to get to the second level and, you know, bowl through a couple guys and, you know, probably get up over 60 plus rushing yards would be my guess.
There have been only six tight ends thus far with 100 or more targets. I think most people could guess who five of them are: Trey McBride, Harold Fannin, Tyler Warren, Kyle Pitts, and Travis Kelce, and one more, Dalton Schultz, who didn't go off last week, but he's been very productive, probably 85% of the time this year. And he is Mr. Zone, although Indy, I don't know, are they going to be playing more man with Sauce Gardner back? What do you see here this week up against those Colts for Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, the Colts have allowed 7.23 yards per attempt to inline targets since week 11, and they've allowed 9.87 yards per attempt to slot targets, which is 30th in the NFL. 80% of Schultz's routes have come from slot or inline. He's at about 55% inline rate and about 32% slot rate. And he leads the Texans in target share against two high coverage, which, like you said, the Colts might lean a little bit more single high. But either way, I still think the Colts have run about 50-50, single high, two high since week 11. And with Sauce Gardner returning this last week, I think the Colts allowed just 5 yards per attempt to targets out wide, and he probably catches a Nico Collins shadow. Schultz also had 7 targets for 55 yards against the Colts in their matchup earlier this year. Schultz has been kind of the guy to keep the Houston offense on task amidst, you know, struggles in the run game, which the Colts have done pretty well against the run game lately. And all of that to say, I think that Schultz sees a good target load and is able to produce the yards to go along with it.
Been really liking Parker Washington lately. It's always a little difficult to go all in because they've got myriad options here. Brenton Strange, Jacoby Myers, Brian Thomas Jr. and all that. But man, he balled out again. He's been just very consistent. And this is dating back to the preseason. Hell, this is dating back to late last year, but he was outstanding in the preseason, was Parker Washington, and he's totally continued it on to the regular season, and here we are in the finale, and he's got a good matchup here against the Titans. What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how, you know, going into this year, the Jaguars offense looked like Brian Thomas Jr. and nothing else, and all of a sudden the receiving options around Trevor Lawrence all look like pluses. And yeah, I think Parker Washington has been one of those guys that has been such a huge beneficiary of Liam Cohen's offense. And they get a Titans team that since week 11 has allowed 9.13 yards per attempt to slot targets, which is 28th in the NFL. They allow 69.6% completion percentage of slot targets. The Titans run about a 51-49 single high to two high split, but they are a lot more susceptible in, again, when they line up in two high coverage. They allow 7.41 yards per attempt, which is 26th in the NFL. Parker Washington has led Jacksonville in target share against two high coverage since week 11 at 23.5%. He's averaged 3.89 yards per route run. The Titans overall have just kind of hemorrhaged against the pass all this season, especially in the back half of the season. I think Parker Washington is able to kind of eat across the middle against the Titans.
And then last but not least, in 45 seconds, what do you have on the Bears run game here up against Detroit?
Yeah, this is just all about how the Lions' run defense has completely fallen apart since the Brian Branch injury, and they've allowed 5 yards per carry, which is 31st in the NFL since week 11. They're giving up 2.59 yards before contact per attempt, which is 30th in the NFL, and they allow a 50.3% success rate. Swift and Menungai have been efficient running the ball overall this season and the last few weeks. They both average over 4 yards of carry, Swift at 5, Menungai at 4.31. Swift has a 61% success rate since week 11. And then they both are averaging two yards before contact per attempt. Lions allow 4.77 yards per contact on man concept runs and a 61.4% success rate. Menungai has a 58% success rate on man concept runs, and Swift has a 6 yards per carry and 68% success rate on zone concept runs. I think the Bears just run it down the Lions' throats this week.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Stephen O'Rourke, great stuff as always. And a little homework assignment as we look toward the playoffs 1 week from today. Let's start researching some unders. I think we need to work in some unders for the playoffs. But we'll talk to Stephen O'Rourke next week, and we'll pop out our waiver wire selections. Last chance saloon for the waiver wire in 2025.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Get paid for with Better Picks, a daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better Pick More or Less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you make a deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app, download Better today, and use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. And welcome back to the final segment here on a Tuesday. Last chance saloon for the waiver wire, and we'll do our due diligence. We could say, oh, waiver wire's done. It's the finale. No, we go all the way to the end here just in case somebody is out there still looking to pick up players. We'll start with what you're talking about, Willis. Malik Willis. What are we talking about when we talk about Willis? We're talking about a very improved player. Now, he did aggravate the shoulder injury late in the fourth quarter last week, but the expectation is that he will be available and Jordan Love will not play. And I would think that they'd want, you know, one more, you know, little tune-up here with Malik Willis. Otherwise, it's going to be a Clayton tune-up, and we don't want that with Clayton Toon, who's on and off the practice squad here. And again, I happened to watch Malik Willis practice for a week in Mobile several years ago at the Senior Bowl at a Liberty, and he was considered a very raw prospect, but man, really talented guy, had the strongest arm at that year, as I think I mentioned last week, but not that great of a deal because we're talking like it was like Kenny Pickett, Bailey Zappi, I remember, was there. Sam Howell was there, but and they were all struggling with the wind, and it wasn't that great weather out there and a little bit of rain. Malik Willis is like slicing through, very strong arm. And I'm watching Malik Willis play, and I'm like, he's less entitled Jalen Hurts out there. It's like, do you want to have a less entitled Jalen Hurts? Yes, I do, because he throws the ball down the field very well. He seems to be processing and deciphering what's going on and reading the defenses better, way better than he did, you know, coming out of that small program at Liberty. And he throws a downfield ball with great ball location, much like Jalen Hurts. And he runs like Hurts as well. He's a very powerful guy. So we'll see. We'll see what the media says. But I would imagine, again, it would make sense to get him out there and maybe end their three-game losing streak, get on a winning note, and then give Malik Willis a few more reps here, obviously, just in case something happens once again with Jordan Love. Jordan Love is, I think I might want Malik Willis more than Jordan Love, quite frankly, if I'm the Packers. He is an unrestricted free agent, and I know there's a number of teams that could use a guy like Malik Willis, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's certainly better than Justin Fields. Let's move on to Michael Mayer. They are tanking in Vegas, but they can tank and still get the ball to Mayer, as we saw last week. Probably not going to have Geno Smith, so we do have a little bit of a downgrade here at quarterback with Ken Pickett, but Chiefs are also playing out the string, so I do believe we can get another four or five grabs this week if we need a tight end. Tyler Shuck, I mean, it's like a broken record. He's still only rostered in 21% of Yahoo leagues. We've been popping him out and giving this guy praises for like 5 weeks in a row. He is now the QB12 in scoring and in fantasy points per game since week 10, 18.2 fantasy points, 8 touchdowns versus 3 picks. And he's run in this span 38 times for a $138 and 2 touchdowns. Basically, he is officially a reliable option as it relates to the field in this offense with Kellen Moore, who is good. So they're hanging in there. He's made Olave a thing, Juwan Johnson a thing. And while we don't have Devon Villay, that'd be nice. You know, he between the running and throwing the ball repeatedly to Olave, it is enough. Next up here, I would look at Malik Davis, the running back for the Cowboys. I would expect Dallas to hold Javonte Williams out this week. I know, well, obviously they're going nowhere, Maybe they don't really truly want to get another dub on the board to help out their draft stock. But I know that they want to bring Javonte back. So I could see them signing him to a solid 3-year deal in the offseason, bring him back. So why risk it? And also, you can do a dual purpose here. You can evaluate Malik Davis, who's looked pretty good as a volume runner. Now, I know Jaden Blue, the rookie who's been residing in Chateau Bow Wow all year, could be in the mix. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I think Malik Davis is probably looking at another 15-plus carries this week. Next up, here's the guy that I was teasing earlier in the broadcast. I know they do have Will Shipley. I love Will Shipley, by the way, in general. I interviewed him at his combine. He was awesome. Very smart guy. But they also have A.J. Dillon, who I also once interviewed multiple times. Another great dude. But I'm going to go Tank Bigsby because I think the odds are good that they're going to shut down Saquon for this one. And Tank Bigsby's been incredibly efficient to offense. It'll be curious. I'd be curious to see what he could do here. I mean, they can't rest everyone. So they're going to play some starters. And what can Tank Bigsby do? Well, probably a lot if he gets 15 plus carries because they're playing DC. We did lose that Javonte prop last week, but only because he got hurt. It was a good call because they gave up over 200 yards to Dallas with only a half rushing, with only a half of Javonte. So that bodes incredibly well for Tank Bigsby. Next up, Dylan Sampson. We are in evaluation mode, and obviously they're not going anywhere. Travion Williams in the mix, the veteran. He's just joined the team like a month ago. Raheem Sanders was an August waiver wire pickup. They drafted Dylan Sampson. He's got a future here for the Browns. And Quinshon Judkins might not be ready for week one. So there's a good opportunity to evaluate him. So I do think it's a good option in a non-threatening matchup here against the division rival Bengals. Next up, I'll go Bryce Young all day. He got a pretty good game just a couple of weeks ago in this matchup against the Bucks, week 16, a couple of tutties, 17.6 fantasy points. Tampa has been devolving on defense over the last 5 weeks. They're giving up over 20 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. And they also give up a lot of production on the ground. And while this passing attack is very unreliable, they've got enough if it turns into a little bit of a shootout here between guys like Jalen Coker and obviously Tet McMillan. And, you know, certainly Xavier Leggett seems like every 5 weeks he wakes up and does something of note. Next up, I'm going to go Audric Estime. You never know when you have a backfield like this, but, you know, once again, evaluation mode. I don't think they need to evaluate Taysom Hill. I think at this point, Kellen Moore would want to evaluate Audric Estime because he's a three-down back. He caught three balls in their prior two games leading up to last week, and then he got volume on the ground this past week. Alvin Kamara under contract next year, Devin Neal under contract. Maybe they look at Austin Estime and think to themselves, in our estimation, we don't need another running back. We're good with Kamara, Neal, and Estime. Then even though this guy absolutely screwed me over last week, another guy I interviewed at his combine, he was outstanding. Great dude, Greg Dulcich. Darren Waller, the previous two games going into last week, to my point on the prop, dude had 10 grabs for 106 and two touchdowns on 13 targets weeks 15 and 16. Didn't mean a damn thing last week. Dulcich took over and took advantage. They're also evaluating him. And Jalen Waddle is banged up and may not play. And Quinn Ewers has been pretty darn decent. And yes, I am a hanger-oner. I'm going to go right back to McCarthy. I think he has to play this week. Don't quote me on it, but we'll see what the week has in store. He'll face a Micah Parsons-less Packers defense with nothing to play for. McCarthy has three touchdowns in 44% of his starts, and I believe he was well on his way to a QB1 performance down the stretch, weeks 14 through 18, but obviously the injury threw a monkey wrench. But we can close out the season on a high note this week with J.J. McCarthy. We can close out the day with Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. On today's show, Adam Burke shares his early week NFL betting positions. Then it's Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around VSiN Prime Time with Matt Humans and Tim Murray at 7 p.m. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Thanks to our producer, Michael Cohen, for producing the program. Tuesday edition of Prop Points wrapping up now. We'll catch you mañana for another edition right here on VSiN.